the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Tuesday, February 26, 2013, and here are our top stories.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, the euro debt crisis looms again as Italians defy EU austerity demands. Then, the new Bin Laden film, how Osama's death is already being rebooted. And yes, Hitler and Stalin did take the guns. All that and more coming up on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, there was an important election last night in Italy that has kind of thrown the European Union into chaos. It's kind of thrown a spanner into the Goldman Sachs machine, if you will. Now, as a little bit of background, you may remember that about 15 months ago, Mario Monti was put in the place of Silvia Berlusconi, the elected representative. And people like Nigel Farage have talked about how we've essentially had technocrats put in the place of elected officials. And it's not just in Italy where there was a lot of corruption from Berlusconi. This also happened in Greece and other places. But in the election last night, as the Telegraph reports, the euro debt crisis looms again as Italians defy EU austerity demands. In an earthquake result, the five-star protest movement of comedian Beppe Grillo looked likely to emerge as the biggest single party in the lower house. The scourge of bankers and corrupt elites, Mr. Grillo has campaigned for a return to the lira and a restructuring of Italy's 1.9 trillion euro public debt. Now, the center-left, it's kind of complicated in Italy because they've got so many parties. It's not a very simple situation like the American elections where everything is done, all the coalition building is done before the election. In parliamentary multiple-party countries like you have throughout Europe, typically there's coalition building afterwards. But what happened is the center-left Democrats of Pier Luigi Bersani got the most votes. However, they cannot really accomplish their agenda without controlling both houses, and the lower house is controlled by this party that has repudiated the austerity measures that are trying to be imposed by the banks on them. Now, the austerity measures that Monti put in, actually, this is what it says from the article, he pushed through draconian fiscal tightening, mostly tax increases, to comply with EU demands, even though Italy's primary budget was already near balance. Critics say this tipped the economy into a needlessly deep recession. Now, of course, Goldman Sachs wouldn't really deliberately sabotage the economy, would they? But they've imposed these tremendous draconian efforts on them. And the question is, will the Italians throw themselves under the bus to save the bankers from their speculation? It looks like they may be waking up and they may take the route that those in Iceland did. So basically, in the elections last night, to recap, there's two parties, Berlusconi's party, which is also repudiating the debts, but also party by the comedian Beppe Grillo, which is repudiating a lot of these austerity measures. And so it remains to be seen exactly what's going to happen. But right now, their near depression ratio as far as youth unemployment goes is at 37%. Of course, our youth unemployment here in America is quite high as well. Now, the question is naive social engineering going to get any more bizarre? We have a pastor in St. Louis who is now calling for a gun buyback program, but a gun buyback program of toy guns. Yes, that's right. Let's model tyranny for little children while they're young. Now, I don't know if this is a young pastor or not, but as someone who has had children, I can say this is just an effort in futility. Here's a quote from him. He says, "We want to engage the culture of violence. And one of the strategies that we thought we might be able to use is to educate parents about the danger of allowing kids to continue this access to toy guns and playing with toy guns." Well, here's the truth, Pastor. This is Pastor Rodney Francis of the Washington Tabernacle Baptist Church. Truth is, I've got a couple of sons, and we had a friend who decided that she did not want her child to play with guns. She thought guns were inherently evil. And so she withheld them from him. What she noticed was that he was grabbing sticks and shooting his friends when they were playing with sticks. And they were grabbing sticks and using them as swords. And after a while, she realized it was just in his nature. And she wasn't going to be able to do anything other than probably make him a gun nut when he grew up. We tried to get guns for our children at Toys R Us when they were small. And the only thing we could find was police riot gear. And I didn't want my children playing. It wasn't that I didn't want them playing with guns. I didn't want them playing to be tyrants. I didn't want them pretending that they're going to be breaking up citizens who are exercising their First Amendment rights and beating them up and arresting them. I wanted them to play with guns as children who were defending their home or defending their family or defending their country, because guns can be used for good or for bad, like any other tool. The U.S. dairy industry is now petitioning the FDA to approve aspartame as a hidden additive. I guess the new slogan is going to be, instead of got milk, they can put up got aspartame. And of course, we won't know because they want to hide those ingredients. Mike Adams reports in Natural News. He says, you probably already know the FDA has declared war on raw milk and even helped to fund and coordinate armed government raids against raw milk farmers and distributors. He says, but now the situation is getting more insane than you could imagine. The International Dairy Foods Association and the National Milk Producers Federation have filed a petition with the FDA asking the FDA to alter the definition of milk to secretly include chemical sweeteners such as aspartame and sucralose. And if they can change that, the meaning of milk to include things like aspartame, then of course they won't have to put them on the labels. And he points out this is not just for milk. It's for 17 other products, yogurt, cream, sour cream, eggnog, whipping cream, 17 products in all. Basically, this is what typically happens as governments give in to crony capitalism and become corrupt. What you see are two things. Number one, the government doesn't prosecute these industries when they engage in criminal activity. And to put stuff like this that has serious health consequences in without informed consent and to basically lie on the label is a criminal offense. The other thing that they do in crony capitalism that we always see is that the large corporations and the large associations like the milk producers ally with government to put their competition out of business. And of course their competition are small independent farmers and the free market. And the milk producers don't want to see that continue. Now, in other news, we have a case study in whether or not Google can really change history. Yes, Hitler and Stalin did take the guns. Paul Joseph Watson points out that following Alex Jones' explosive appearance on CNN's Piers Morgan Tonight last month, gun control advocates reacted to Jones' fiery historical defense of the right to keep and bear arms by attempting to dismiss the fact that tyrannical regimes have always disarmed their target populations and to portray that as a myth or a hoax. And here's the way they did it. Numerous left-wing blogs successfully gamed Google's search engine results so that when people searched for terms such as Nazi gun control, they were met with a plethora of articles claiming the historical basis for this connection was a fabrication. Now, that's kind of like what Orwell's Ministry of Truth did when they flushed history down the memory hole. But maybe a better analogy and a more direct analogy is what Goebbels, Hitler's propaganda meister, said. And he said, if you repeat a lie often enough, it becomes a truth. And I guess if a lie scores high enough on a Google search engine, it becomes a truth. But the reality is that, as Paul Joseph Watson points out in his article, the Nazi weapons law of November 11th, 1938, prohibited Jews from, quote, acquiring, possessing, and carrying firearms and ammunition, as well as truncheons or even stabbing weapons, and ordered them to turn in all guns and ammunition to local police. In addition, other historians, like Israel Gutman, have outlined how the Warsaw Ghetto uprisings against the Nazis was hampered by the fact that the Jews did not have access to adequate arsenals of firearms. And Goebbels, again, wrote in his diary, this just shows what you can expect from Jews if they lay their hands on weapons. And of course, it's not just in Nazi Germany, but it was in Stalin's Russia. Aaron Zellman documents in his book with J.E. Simkin, the book is Gun Control, Gateway to Tyranny, that in October 1918, the Council of People's Commissars, that is the communist government, ordered citizens to surrender all firearms, ammunition, and sabers, again, stabbing instruments, swords and guns and ammunition, having first mandated registration on all weapons 6 months earlier. So this is something that you can't really dispute the facts. One thing is interesting is that in the Warsaw Ghetto, they started with essentially no guns. And as Alex has said many times, you can get all the guns you want if you got a hammer and a lot of nerve. And that's basically what they did in the Warsaw Ghetto. They were so effective that they tied down for quite a while an entire panzer division. And the only way that they stopped that was to burn the city down. on April the 19th, the same day that Waco was burned down. And using the same tactics that we see used over and over again by government to just burn out any resistance. But of course, we would never have that happen here in America, right? Except that we already have in New Orleans. And we have a city today that wants the power to disarm individuals during a crisis. Listen to this. In Guntersville, Alabama, Mayor Leigh Dollar is working with city officials to pass an ordinance that would give police the power to, quote, disarm individuals during a disaster. The new rule would allow authorities to confiscate guns of, quote, unruly, unquote, people during extreme weather events. Now, the question is, and the residents are posing this question, why would authorities need to pass a new ordinance given that police already have the power to arrest citizens who are being unruly, whether or not they're armed? So you don't need to have another piece of legislation to allow you to arrest people who are unruly, to disarm people who are unruly. They can be arrested as it is right now. But we've already seen this in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina. As a matter of fact, that was major impetus for Oath Keepers. And we are not going to be fooled by that again. We're not going to be fooled into forgetting about Nazi and Stalinist atrocities, as well as the communist Chinese. Now, we've got a new movie that's coming out. If you watched the Oscars, you saw that they pretty much snubbed O Dark 30, or O Dark Easter Bunny, as we like to call it. But yet another movie is coming out to give us yet another version of the bin Laden assassination narrative. We've had several versions. Stories were coming one after the other. It was changing as the events were supposedly happening from the federal government. Now Hollywood is giving us one narrative after the other. A new story called Shooter. It appears that a deal is in the works for that. That'll be the third film about the supposed assassination of bin Laden. But people are starting to push back against this obvious propaganda campaign. It was totally snubbed at the Oscars, and people are starting to understand they don't like to be propagandized in movies and lied to. And we understand how powerful movies are, as well as the government. That's why they use this as a propaganda tool. When I saw Dr. Strangelove as a child, I really wasn't thinking about fluoridation. We had well water, and I hadn't really considered it. I didn't know what it was about. But they did a wonderful job in Dr. Strangelove of making anybody that was concerned about impurities like fluoride being put in their water, making them look like absolute kooks. Because, of course, that was the inspiration for General Jack D. Ripper to start a nuclear holocaust, was the fact that his water was fluoridated. So Hollywood has a power to do a lot of things, whether it's by ridicule or just outright heroic propaganda. And that's why we want to have this this film festival that we've started with InfoWars. We've got a huge amount of money on the table, $115,000 in prize. The first prize is a $100,000 grand prize. But we want an online film festival where people can talk about liberty. They can show documentaries. They can show narratives. And we've got some really excellent entries that are coming in. There's still another couple of months for people to get involved and to submit entries. And there's also an opportunity for you to become part of future productions here at InfoWars. Alex has produced over 23 documentaries, and we're looking to start doing that again because it is so effective. We know it's effective. The government knows it's effective. In a movie, in a documentary, you have the way to change people's hearts and minds. If it's a fictional narrative, you can create something that really gets to people at a visceral level, and you can use that for good or you can use it for evil. And if you do a documentary, of course, you have the time in a documentary to give people all the background information that they need to really wake up, which you can't really do in a newscast or in a radio broadcast nearly as well. And that brings us to our daily quote. The first principle of value that we need to rediscover is this, that all reality hinges on moral foundations. In other words, that this is a moral universe, that there are moral laws of the universe just as abiding as physical laws. That's a quote from Martin Luther King. But you can certainly count on that because the same God that created the physical laws created the moral laws. So that's not surprising that those both exist. So we'll be right back after the break with an interview with some people at the Day of Resistance in Dallas, Texas. David Ortiz and I went up there to cover that. We'll be right back.
Pro Pure is introducing Pro One. all of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. This is the Pro One by ProPure. You wanted it, you got it. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquamedics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It cuts out the acid derivative of fluoride. It is the only one that does it. And out of the gates, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. This is a revolution against the tyrants. They love putting the toxic acid base of fluoride into your water. They love the fact that it's an adjuvant supercharging the trace Prozac in the water and the hormones and the other chemicals. By cutting out fluoride, you cut out the turbocharger in all the poison being artificially introduced into your body. This is what I use. It's a win-win. You get a high-quality product at the lowest price. You support the InfoWar. Get your ProPure with the new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
InfoWars.com is proud to introduce the new InfoWars skateboards by Alien Workshop. Skaters have always been against the grain socially. Now wake up your friends politically. Just go to InfoWarsStore.com. We have Divide and Conquer, our brainwashing. Then take your deck to your local skate shop, pick out your own trucks, your own wheels, and then hit the streets and wake some people up. Here is legendary skateboarder Jake Nunn.
This one has a lot more concave than I have on my board, and I like concave. It makes it easier to turn and feel the board. So it's pretty cool. I mean, it's almost the same shape as mine. It's not really a sport, and it's not really art. It's just kind of freedom, you know? I've listened to Alex Jones for a long time, and I love what InfoWars does. I've always loved Alien Workshop, too. Like, I think it's kind of cool you guys got together. This one's pretty nice. Definitely one for the wall, one for the collection. Also good to skate.
Get these limited edition decks at InfoWarsStore.com.
This is Jake Nunn. Get these beautiful new skateboards at InfoWars.com. Alien Workshop collaboration. Good stuff.
Well, this last Saturday was a day of resistance across the nation. People gathered to voice their concern over federal encroachment against individual rights, particularly the Second Amendment, but not limited to that. And it was a day for people to organize and to strategize. David Ortiz and I went to Dallas to cover that rally, and David has a report here where he talked to some of the people.
For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Ortiz. Well, David Knight and I attended the Day of Resistance rally here in Dallas, Texas. It's part of a national event that over 50,000 Americans are expected to participate in over 30 U.S. states. And at this event here in Dallas, not only did they focus on the proposed federal assault weapons ban that's being sponsored by Senator Dianne Feinstein, but also on various assault weapons bans that are being proposed in various states, including Colorado and New Jersey.
Well, I used to be a lawful gun owner in the United Kingdom, and when they passed the ban law, I lost my firearms, and I'm not about to let that happen to me a second time, being a lawful gun owner in the United States.
How did that make you feel when they... What part of England were you in? What happened exactly?
I was in Cambridge when it all happened. And in 1996, when we had our equivalent to Sandy Hook, it was kind of horrifying at the time. But then there was a knee-jerk reaction by our government and our people. They'd already banned assault rifles after an incident called Hungerford. And then when our Dunblane happened, they banned all guns. And within a few weeks of the laws being passed, at 1 minute past midnight, a knock on the door, law enforcement came to collect my firearms and ammunition.
How did that make you feel?
How do you think it made me feel? It was sickening because I was a law-abiding citizen. I did everything I possibly could by the government and the state to be a lawful buying citizen. I didn't commit a speeding ticket. I didn't do a parking ticket. I did nothing because I wanted to be a law-abiding citizen to own firearms and shoot in competitions. And that was all taken away from me because of one unlawful person. The UK also has one of the largest injuries and death through knife and knife attacks than anywhere else in the world. Gun ownership is very good and very rife in the United Kingdom, despite what the media says. There were situations where if I wanted to buy an illegal gun, I knew where to go and pick it up. And that's the issue, is that unlawful guns are rife, especially throughout metropolitan areas.
The only thing that separates animals from men is our ability to reason. And I think that if individuals take the time out to reason, ask themselves a few questions. Do criminals care whether or not you ban guns? No, they don't. They're criminals. What they do is break the law. If we take away guns from individuals who use them to protect their families, don't we leave the vulnerable more vulnerable? The incident that happened in Newton happened because of vulnerability, because no one was there to protect those children. By banning guns, by banning the number one thing that the Constitution gives us the right to hold, we actually leave our children even more vulnerable.
Being a female and owning guns is, I mean, a right. Say somebody's going to come up and rob you or try to take away your car, where in Texas we can actually carry weapons in our car, so if that does happen, we have that protection. So, I mean, if you look at more of the rape crime, than the people killing people crime, it's kind of more rape.
Does it make you feel safer having access to a gun?
Yes, it does.
You say to minorities, Hispanics, African Americans, who say, oh, come on, this is something that only, you know, Caucasian Americans are into. This is racist. Some commentators have said, oh, they're just trying to gear up so that if a minority comes to their house, they can blow them away. It's a racial thing. What would you say to them?
I don't necessarily believe it's a racial thing by any means. Criminals are, you know, from every race. It doesn't matter if they're black, white, Hispanic. They're nefarious people, and they will do whatever they'll do whatever it takes for them to either get what they want or get away. And I think that's really scary. They don't play by the same rules as law-abiding citizens. They don't care about, you know, background checks or getting things legally or, you know, other people for the most part. And that line of ideology, who knows where it can go?
Well, the keynote speaker was a lady who had lived under Romanian dictator Nicolae Ceausescu. And like so many people that we've talked to before, she has an important story with warnings to tell us about how it got to that position, what it was like to live there. And like so many of the other people, her warning is that we're headed in that direction with many parallels. Here's what she had to say.
More than 20 years ago, I was exiled from communist Romania to America, the greatest country in the world. I came to America as a political refugee from communist Romania. I had with me two daughters, and I was pregnant with my son. I had no money, and I did not know one word in English. After mastering English, I was admitted, and in 3 years, I graduated from SMU Law School with two degrees, Juris Doctor and Master of Laws. After that, I established my own law firm. Meanwhile, I raised three children as a single mom. I am the American dream, but I should be dead, buried somewhere in an unmarked grave in Romania, according to the dictator Nicolae Ceausescu. The only thing that make my journey possible, fighting and winning against communists in Romania, is my decision to trust God to help me fight for freedom. If we lose freedom in America, there is no place to escape to. The socialist system is governed by the big government who owns all the means of production, distribution, and determines the good for its people. The socialist system replaces the free market with government control and eradicates private property, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, religious rights, and self-determination as a nation. In the name of promoting fair share, justice, and equality, the socialism turns most of its people into equally poor people. Equality means bringing the country's standard of living to the lowest level possible. Soon after Ceausescu was elected president, he governed Romania with an iron fist, as a despot and as a tyrant. According to him, we the people of Romania was his subjects, owned by him, and he wanted to make all the decisions for us. He nationalized big area of our economy. He eliminated the free market economy of Romania and replaced it with his dictatorial communist control. As businesses had to abide the government's new requests, rules, regulations, they started to produce low-quality products that we, the customers, were forced to buy at the price established by the government. He ruined our economy.
Well, I was curious when she talked in her speech about Ceausescu taking away the free market and other freedoms, because I was under the impression that everything just came down like a hammer when the first communist dictators came in. But like Bert from Poland, who, if you remember an interview we had with him a few weeks ago, things didn't happen all at once, just like things are not happening all at once here in America. Now, Bert had told us that in Poland, it took several decades for the communist system to completely suppress and kill all the free market and private businesses that were there. And, of course, once those were gone, things got really bad. But here's how Mrs. Prodan described the Romanian takeover.
Of socialist and communist leaders, but he was the worst one. Mm-hmm. He was the one, the only one who declared himself God, and he was the one who fought against Christians and churches, demolishing churches and putting Christians in jail. About he made the secret police, Securitate, as his personal special forces, and he developed the informants. He was worse than Stalin, worse than Hitler. He killed many people. I am a miracle that I am alive. I believe the reason is that God protected me, and because in Romania being a woman means nothing. And he was shocked and surprised that I took him to court and I won cases, and I exposed him for to Voice of America, Free Europe.
Well, there's some interesting parallels between this dictator who thought of himself as God and American leaders who think they should control every aspect of our life. Here's what Virginia had to say about that.
He changed our healthcare system for worse into a national healthcare system. Patient-doctor relationship vanished. Patients and doctors lost their freedom. Hospitals were administrated and medication were rationalized by government to patients. Before socialists came to Romania in power, Romania was a rich country with a free market economy, a good health care and good school system. Bucharest, the capital of Romania, was called Little Paris. But with socialism and Ceausescu's strict control system, very soon Romania experienced a drastic shortage of food, fuel, energy, medicine, and all the other necessities.
Well, it wasn't just a complete takeover of healthcare. Ceausescu also went after the guns.
Using altruistic purposes, too many kids killed or hurt by guns. The socialist government immediately established gun control in Romania. It created a police system, Securitate, to control and silence everyone, including the media. The Securitate was the dictator's elite special forces, his loyalists, and a very privileged group of people. The dictator's ears and eyes, they were powerful and above the law. The secret police also recruited civilian informants. The youngest informant was 8 years old.
Notice how the monopoly and force went hand in hand with the surveillance state.
I was an attorney in Romania, and I am an attorney in America. Like you, I was born with a hunger for truth and freedom. But I was born in communist Romania, a land of lies and a prison land. Not one with real stone walls, steel bars, and watchtower, but a prison land nevertheless. The stone walls were the cruel and harsh life and treatment from the government. The bars were lies, and the watchtowers were the suspicions, anxiety, secrets, and fears. They were everywhere in Ceausescu's Romania.
Living in that prison planet surveillance state, I asked Ms. Prodan what she thought of the watchtowers. And think about, as she describes it, think about the parallels between our current surveillance state.
He had, like I said, secret police everywhere. I had microphones in my house, in my office. I had secret police in outside of my home 24 hours a day. They had informants, everything. He was able to listen. So we all live in a constant state of anxiety and mistrust, where one could be denounced for anti-government statement by anyone, a neighbor, a classmate, even a family member. For many people, the only way to avoid dictator's punishment, usually jail or death, was to remain silent, to blend in.
And when she talked about taking Ceausescu to court, I was curious if they had laws there that protected any individual rights. On what basis did she win? Now, there's been a Second Amendment speech of a fellow who was at Tiananmen Square and in Massachusetts. And he talked about the fact that in China, they had laws that protected most of the individual rights that are enshrined in the Bill of Rights in America, of course, with the exception of the Second Amendment. But, of course, they didn't pay any attention to them. And a similar thing happened in Romania, but listen to how she described it.
Not sure if we have everything like in America, but I'll give you an example. We have laws in Romania that will protect churches and Christians, but during the interrogation, the laws that I use them against the government, and you hear me saying that I won all of those cases. And the reason is because I use those cases that nobody else in Romania wanted to use or dared to use. And in the interrogation room by secret police, those secret police told me that those laws were in Romania, in the books, so Romania can have or maintain the most favored national status with United States, not for me to use against them. But I was very determined to use, and I told them they're going to law school. Nobody told me that. And I really believe in those laws, and I'm going to use them. And
So the laws there were just window dressing. Nobody really paid any attention to it, isn't it? Very much like what we have with the TSA and with the Department of Homeland Security and with the NDAA. So many places where we have the laws in place, we have very clear constitutional protections of our rights, and the government just chooses to ignore it. But with all this surveillance, Virginia Prodan was not stopped. Listen to what carried her on.
When you stand up and fight for something, it is surprising, might be surprising for others to hear, but others will follow you. Mm-hmm. Or if they don't follow you, at least they will support you. Mm-hmm. So don't think that you are by yourself, because we are never by ourselves. I can tell you stories of unsung heroes in Romania who helped me from Romania and also Americans. Like I said in my speech, fear and faith are contagious. You have to make sure that you don't spread fear around you. Fight with your own fear inside of you. Win, because God is with us and he can eliminate that fear and give us faith and courage. Spread courage around you and you will be surprised how many people will be encouraged, and you will contaminate them. And one person can change a town, a city, a state, and then United States.
Well, I love what she said. Faith and fear are both contagious. And so it's kind of up to you, isn't it? Are you going to spread faith or are you going to spread fear? Are you going to encourage those around you, or are you going to be the weak spot that makes everybody else weaker? Well, every day is a day of resistance here at InfoWars, and I hope you will join us in that resistance. I hope you will support our sponsors. And if you're watching on YouTube, I hope that you'll support Prison Planet TV. Buy a subscription there. You can give that out to 10 other people who can be watching it simultaneously. You can actually give it to more people, because it's very unlikely 10 people will be watching it at any given time. You also have full access to all the documentaries that Alex Jones has produced. So please consider becoming a Prison Planet subscriber. That's it for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern with the nightly news.